In person, mic check.
Merry mic check.
Now it's time to start the show. Now it's time to start the show.
Welcome to the Two Men Wolf Pack. Every week, running it back.
Beam and Web try to act like they know. Now it's time to start the show. Yo, for show. Let's go.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Two Man Wolf Pack. As always, my name is Adam, and special treat this week, in studio with me, my good friend.
What up, y'all?
Brian, this is a privilege to have you in the basement. I'm glad you're not dialing in, and you're actually here live with me.
It's good to be back, everyone, and I'm super excited because we're actually going to the game tonight.
We are. I should say we're recording this. Today is Friday, December 23rd, 2016. It's been 12 days since our last podcast. Sorry about the delay. We just had some busy schedules. We really are trying to do this every week during the season, and we will try to do so going forward. The Wolves were 3-2 over
there. There is no try, only do.
I guess. The Wolves were 3-2 over the 12-day stretch, bringing their overall record to 9-19. They are 16 games back of the Warriors for the one seed in the West, but it's not all bad news. We're only 2.5 games back of the eighth seed. That's Portland currently for a playoff spot in the West. We're coming off a winning streak, Brian. We're on a 2-game winning streak. Not sure if you knew, this was our first one of the year, which is kind of unbelievable, actually.
Yeah, well, with the way we were playing before, it was believable. But, you know, it seems like we're entering hopefully a new mini phase of the season where there's some hope for the first time since kind of we kicked off.
Yeah, it was a tough 5-game stretch, and the fact that they came out of it 3-2, I think we're both pretty sure if we're lucky, they're going to win one of those 5 games. They easily could have won 4. Our last podcast, we got some feedback that we're doing a nice job, but it was pretty negative. So this one, this one is probably going to have a little better tenure to it.
Did you say tenure?
Yeah, I think you can use that word in that.
I think you mean tenor.
I did.
It's fine. It's cool. Just so everyone knows, I just Snapchatted a video of Adam and I kicking off the pod to Gigi Hadid. So we'll see if she responds. Keep you posted.
Nice. She'll probably be very impressed with it.
By the way, for everyone listening, just so you know, Wiggins open snaps. So we could snap this at Wiggins.
Oh, you can get everything? Or he gets everything?
Yeah. I mean, the last time I snapped him, he opened it. So you can see if they click on it or not.
Okay, that's pretty cool. Do you think he does that so like 32-year-old guys can snap it?
I'm 31.
Okay.
No, I don't.
And honestly, I was kind of disappointed.
I'm like, Andrew, like you should either be sleeping, relaxing, or working on your game. Like,
Brian, make sure you're holding the mic together. You're fading out a little bit there. Anyways, getting into the agenda, we got some news and notes. We have a special segment. We're going to go through some trade scenarios, some rumored players that the Wolves are interested in, and they've been linked to the team. So we're going to do a little bid-ask spread and then a final, I don't know, price. I'm not quite sure how it's working. Brian's the brainchild of this segment.
It's like the stock market. There's a bid-ask and a closing price.
Okay, that's good. Good, bad, ugly then for the 5 games this week. We'll probably go through those fairly quick because we do have a Where Are They Now segment followed by a mailbag. Again, really good emails these last 12 days. Thank you, everyone. TimberwolvesPodcast@gmail.com is where we can be found. Also at T-Wolves Podcast on the Twitterverse. Brian, how you been?
Good.
It's like I haven't talked to you at all until right now.
It's really weird to be talking
to you. Uncomfortable to stare at you.
It's weird that I have to wear pants.
Yeah, you don't have to.
No, it's good to be home. Had a great day shopping with my mom.
Went to Ridgedale Mall, which has a nice new Nordstrom. Ate lunch there and at the restaurant there, and it's really delicious.
That's good. I haven't been there yet. Was it packed?
I mean, you know, Friday before Christmas, it's pretty busy, but overall doable. And then went to Haskell's. Haskell's has
some great sales for anyone listening.
Check it out.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, what's up with you?
I'm a little concerned about our microphone situation. That's what's up with me. But I don't know. Had our holiday celebration at work this today, actually. It was very good. I received many generous gifts, and I'm pretty excited.
What was the best gift?
Timberwolves tickets. Ooh. Yeah, so I have suite level tickets to a game coming up in January. And if my wife is so kind, she's going to come with me.
Yeah, well, over under, well, there's no over under there. I put it at 40%.
Yeah, she may bail. And we're back. We're now using one microphone because we're having some technical difficulties for our second mic. So Brian and I are super close.
Yep, we're rubbing next to each other on Adam's couch.
Just two dudes in my basement doing a podcast. Anyways, my week's been very good. I'm excited to have first Christmas with my son. Got him some outfits. He doesn't really care about stuff yet, but it's more for me. I'm excited about it. Anyways, let's get into some news and notes. First of all, Brian, as I mentioned earlier, the T-Wolves have a winning streak. Two in a row. They're going for, that'd be three in a row tonight when we go to the game. You know what's weird? Just going 3-2 and winning two in a row, people have turned. I mean, the doom and gloom is done, and I feel like T-Wolves fans are back on board, and it's awesome. It's really fun to watch games, and they're close at the end, and we win.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still a skeptic, obviously. I'm probably a little bit more negative than most fans, but I think the narrative has been the Chicago game kind of turned it around. Like, we just needed a good win against a decent team, pull one out on the road. We kind of did it for Tibbs, and maybe going to Chicago and seeing him as more of a person and doing something, you know, that probably had an emotional meaning for him, maybe helped them connect more. And maybe now they feel more loyalty to Tibbs and will play harder. Because I think one thing we talked about last week was that, you know, maybe they weren't connecting. Maybe he wasn't getting through to them because it didn't seem like it on defense for sure. Until we start playing like crap again and letting games slip away, or hopefully we don't, but I think we can say like maybe this was a mini turning point for us. So I'm excited for the next stretch, and hopefully we can kind of dig ourselves out of this hole we built.
Yeah, I agree. And there's reason to be optimistic, right? Young team sort of turning it around. I do think we're getting some better variants now. I know that's not super cutting analysis, but I wanted to mention that our upcoming schedule is very favorable. We have Sacramento tonight, then we're at Oklahoma City, which is a tough one, but then home against Atlanta, at Denver, home against Milwaukee, home against Portland, at 76ers, at Washington, Utah, Dallas, Houston. I mean, our next 10 games, 8 of them are opponents that we're probably equal or better than.
Yeah, I mean, it ends a bit harder with Utah and Houston, but for the most part, those games are pretty winnable. Luckily, Washington fell off. Portland is not playing well. They can hopefully turn around, and I think we just shown that we own Atlanta.
We do. I mean, it helped that Dwight Howard wasn't playing in that game, but we did own Atlanta. I think we own Houston, too.
Yeah, no.
They just made a couple shots.
And also, real quick, so a lot of these teams are sub-500, but they're like right at 500, so yes, only 2 of the 10 have winning records, but I think 9 of the 10 have better records than us, so let's not act like these are easy games. And I think Denver is actually pretty feisty, and Milwaukee, I don't know what's up with Milwaukee. I don't know what to make of them. They have talent. Maybe they just need Chris Middleton to be healthy next year, and they'll actually be good.
Yeah, they're absolutely not easy games. I don't think any game's easy for a team like the Wolves. You know, we're not Golden State. So, yeah, I agree. Moving on, before we get into some trade scenarios, Brian, I did just want to talk about Craig Sager really quick. Obviously, good guy, passed away after a long battle with cancer. It's weird. Growing up, I have a lot of memories of Craig Sager just like on the sideline with his wacky suits, funny interactions with the players. I remember when Kevin Garnett told him to burn his suit. That was probably my favorite Craig Sager highlight as a Timberwolves fan. Anyways, it kind of affected me, the news, and I was pretty bummed out about it, and thoughts were with his family.
Yeah, it was emotional. I think what was different about Craig is a couple of things. One, the NBA is such a small community that, you know, it was Thursday night. You knew that he'd be there covering the game, and you could always expect to see Sager versus like the NFL where there's so many different people. Maybe someone gets the Monday night game. So that's part of it. But also his battle was very public. You know, we found out he had it. He was off the air for a little bit. We saw him fight. He came back. You know, his son covered a game and he got to do the finals with ESPN. It was a very public fight, but also he was very personal and kind of open about it. And I think that led to a lot of people rooting for him and a lot of people look up to him. So very sad to see Craig go, but I think he managed to make himself an inspiration for a lot of people. And, you know, it's also outside of fighting cancer. It's just cool to see one of those guys who wanted something and had a dream and fought for it and made it happen. So an inspiration to all of us.
I'll echo those thoughts. I agree with all that. You know, the fact that he...
No counterpoint?
Yeah, I'm not going to argue with it. Just the fact he continued to have such a positive outlook on everything. And by all accounts, obviously we didn't know him, but by all accounts, he was a great guy and took the time to get to know people. And, you know, from what I understand, going through chemotherapy is incredibly difficult and just makes you tired. And, you know, it'd be really easy to just be in bed all day and have a sort of woe is me and bad outlook on the world. And he did the opposite of that. And I find that really awesome and inspiring.
For sure.
Okay, Brian, not a lot of other news this week, except some trade rumors. Should we get into your little segment?
Let's do it.
Do you want to explain how the segment's going to work?
Yeah, so like the stock market, if you guys remember from ninth grade economics, or if you're interested in the market now, with any trade, whether it's human beings in sports or whether it's in the market, there's usually what's called a bid, an ask, and it closes somewhere in the middle. So if we're trying to trade for, say, LeBron James, our bid would be, you know, Andrew Wiggins and Ricky Rubio. And then the ask back would be, they would tell us to F off.
Our bid would literally be anything they want.
But the ask back from Cleveland would be like, okay, well, we need Wiggins, Towns, and LaVine. Do you think they would do that deal?
No.
Yeah, probably not.
No, absolutely not.
Really? Three of the best young studs in the NBA for one guy?
No, they wouldn't do that deal.
I don't know. He's getting older. So, yeah. And then we'd be like, okay, well, realistically, it's probably going to close at like Wiggins for LeBron straight up. Okay, that was a terrible example because I was joking, but that's the way the segment's going to work. Okay. I don't think Adam totally gets it, so I'll do the bid. I'll do the bid.
I understand how the stock market
bid,
works,
you
but
do the ask.
I don't understand how this segment works.
We'll figure it out. We're getting squirrely. It's weird when we're nuzzled up against each other.
Yeah, no, we're actually touching. Okay, first guy, this was originally reported by Darren Wolfson, or I guess Zach Lowe via Darren Wolfson. I couldn't really tell from the tweet, but apparently Zach Lowe said, keep an eye on the Wolves and Goran Dragic. And it's been widely reported that the Heat are shopping him and looking to bottom out. Dragic is signed through 2019-2020, making about $20 million a year. He's currently 30 years old. I'll just say I like this deal in general. I think he'd make our team better. You know, it depends who we'd have to give up for him. And I like the fact his contract's pretty long. I know Brian, you were saying he's 30. So he's going to be, I think 33, 34 and his contract's up, but
yeah, we paid him $19 million when he's 34 for an athletic score for his point guard. That kind of terrifies me, but
yeah, but I like the fact his contract goes that long because I've said this on many podcasts. I don't want to do a deal for a guy where he's under contract for 2 years and then he's unrestricted and he leaves and it's a complete disaster. And this is not that scenario. So I like this. I like this rumor. It made me excited when I heard about it.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. It definitely helps us on offense, that's for sure. Having a guy who can shoot the ball. Where Ricky is on the floor right now, he's in he's in the position to get a lot of really good looks. Like even to close out the Atlanta game before he kind of kicked it, when it was 88-84, Ricky got the ball wide open on the baseline for three. But in those opportunities, a lot of times he doesn't look to shoot. Like I tweeted one from the Bulls game. He was wide open in the corner on a fast break. He tries to jam it inside. It's not a turnover, but stuff like that doesn't show up in the box score. But if we had a dude who could make and even just take those open threes, that creates a lot of space on offense, so I think it would help out everyone else. Now, if we did this trade, we'd definitely be starting five net negatives on defense, and that would be perhaps troubling. We basically become Houston. Like, we'd need to become a top five offensive team and, like, maybe get to 20 on defense to win some games.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. We would be bad defensively as we are now, but it's hard for us to be a top five offense the way we're constructed because we don't really shoot a lot of threes. We're not good at threes. And I
like threes.
It's just really hard to get there shooting 2-point shots. So
that's true. They're worth 50% less. Okay. So if I'm the Timberwolves and I'm trying to get Goran Dragic to make contract work, I am bidding Chris Dunn and Nikola Pekovic and a future first-round pick. Adam, what do you think the ask is back if you're the Miami GM?
I think they're going to ask. Well, I think they might hang up on you, for one. I think they're going to ask back. They're going to want Ricky back, and I think we're going to want to get rid of Ricky. They're going to want a future first round pick. They're probably going to want, let's see, Bozzi's going to go unrestricted, so that doesn't really make sense. They're probably going to ask for, I haven't put a lot of thought into this.
No, you're really killing this segment.
Okay, Rubio, first round pick, and Gorgie, and they're going to throw in some contract.
No. Okay. That's ridiculous.
That's what they're asking back.
No, I think they'd ask for more. I think they would ask back high. Honestly, contracts would work if they asked for Ricky and Zach for Dragic, because they know we value Ricky at zero, and Zach is actually a good player. But I think you could argue like Zach and Dragic aren't that different right now. Granted, Zach is younger. Yes, I'm saying if you're Miami, I think you'd ask for more than that. I think we would happily give them Ricky, Gorgie, and contracts to make that work. Did you say and a first round pick?
Yeah, and a first round pick.
Then it's a little expensive. Okay. So honestly, I think the closing price will be somewhere close to that. I don't think they'll want Gorgie's contract necessarily because they're trying to go young and bottom out and build for the future. So I don't know if they really want Gorgie Dieng for $16 million for 4 years. So I think it would close at around Ricky, Dunn, and a first-round pick. No deal? You don't think so?
That's a fair deal. I actually think that's pretty fair. I think I'd probably do that if I was both teams.
Yeah, because Dragic would get 40 of the 48 minutes. Tyus can play 9 minutes. Like, yes, we'll be very bad at defense, but that doesn't change a lot. Or we could even have Zach play point guard in the second unit and fill those minutes. I think it makes us net better right away, and it allows us to get a return on Dunn, and we don't know where he's going to be. He hasn't blown us away yet. He hasn't, other people would argue, hasn't been terrible, but I think it closes there. Okay, should we go to the next one?
Let's go to the next one. This one's going to be a lot more sharp, I promise. John Wall. Okay, John Wall. The Wolves are going to all open the bid. The Wolves are opening the bid at John Wall at Ricky Rubio, Chris Dunn, two future first-round draft picks, and Shabazz Muhammad.
Yeah, if I'm Washington, I'm annoyed at that. I'm slightly offended. So I think I would come back with Ricky Rubio and Andrew Wiggins, then I think straight up for that. Wiggins, obviously the centerpiece. Rubio will be the new point guard. What do you think? Do you think that's asking enough back?
Rubio and Wiggins. Again, I find John Wall's contract a little troubling. I'm scared he's going to leave after a couple
years.
Yeah,
you mention this every week.
But talent for talent, the Wolves are coming out ahead in that deal. I think it settles, though, on something like Ricky, Zach, a pick, and that's it.
That's a lot.
And that's it.
That's a lot, because our picks, well, again, it'd be a pick a few years out, because we can't trade this year's, so I think the next one we could trade would be 19, because we gave up this year's pick in the Payne trade. So, yeah, I mean, in theory, we keep telling ourselves, like, we should be in the playoffs at that point. It's okay to trade a first-round pick. It hasn't happened yet. So, I guess I'm curious to hear your thoughts if you think that's a good deal. I think that makes us better, but again, it shortens out our rebuild, and we say, okay, we'd like to win sooner. We have a lot more faith that Towns is going to be better than Wiggins, and we think Zach is going to be a stud.
It makes us better for 2 years, and then we get worse, a lot worse, after John Wall leaves. So, no.
What if he stayed? Okay, what if he stayed?
And what's the trade? What did we settle on?
Rubio, LaVine, and future first. No, I'm sorry. Is that what we said?
Rubio, LaVine, future first. Yeah,
I would
right.
do that all day.
Yeah, that's a good trade for us.
I meant Rubio, Wiggins, future first is what I think it'll likely be.
Okay. Yeah, I would do that trade too if he stays, if John Wall stayed.
Ooh, Adam's in. Adam's in, guys. Okay, next.
Jimmy Butler, long rumored to be a target of the Timberwolves, obviously played under Tom Thibodeau in Chicago. Jimmy Butler, what are you opening the bid at?
If I'm the Timberwolves for Jimmy Butler, I'm offering Chris Dunn and Zach LaVine. Apparently, that's what I offer in every trade, but I think that's like that's what we offered at the draft. I don't think a lot has changed. Dunn has been a little below he's been quite a bit below expectation so far. But I wouldn't throw out a first-round pick because LaVine's a stud. I don't think Chicago's super happy with Butler, but what do you think? What would your ask back be if you're the Bulls?
The Wolves are throwing that out. I would ask back I'd want Chris Dunn, Ricky Rubio, Zach LaVine, and two future first-round picks.
Do they really need Ricky Rubio? Would they want another short point guard who can't shoot?
I just kind of don't want Reggie.
Yeah, that Rubio doesn't make sense in that deal. Can you say a real one back?
Fine. Chris Dunn, Zach LaVine, two future first, and thrown in Bozzi.
Interesting. I think it would have to be Dunn and LaVine for Butler. I think that's what it would close at. Basically what I said. And maybe a second rounder.
Would you take that deal today?
I don't like Butler's game on offense. I think he's a black hole and he wouldn't work well with our other guys. Granted, Wiggins is kind of a black hole, so like Towns is kind of a black hole. I don't think we need three black holes on offense. So no, right now I would not do that trade. I don't know if the Bulls would either though.
I'm doing the deal.
You do it? You ready to give up on Zach?
No. Well, Zach's great. I think he's going to have a great career, but I just think the way our team's currently constructed is a little flawed. The fact we have LaVine and Wiggins, two poor defensive players. We need a better defensive wing, and Jimmy Butler can bring that. So I would jump at that.
Okay. Interesting. I don't think you're wrong.
Apparently the Wolves are looking to acquire front court help, Brian. I think that was reported from Darren Wolfson. So next guy, Serge Ibaka. Serge. Am I opening the bid?
Yeah, you're opening the bid. And real quick before we get into this, so Wolfson reported that the Wolves are talking to Orlando, Philly, and Phoenix for front court help. And so that's where the next few came from.
Okay. If I'm the Wolves, I'm opening the bid at Chris Dunn. Future first round pick. I'm not throwing in any of the big three in this one. So maybe just stopping there.
Chris Dunn in a first round pick.
That's correct.
For Serge Ibaka. His contract is up after this year. Yeah, I don't think they would do that.
It's called a bid.
Fair. That I didn't make up this game. I think Orlando would come back and say, I don't think they want Chris Dunn at all because they already had Elfrid Payton. So they don't need another young point guard who can't shoot and may underdeliver. I think they would ask for something a little unreasonable. I think they need scoring and some wing help. I think they would know they probably couldn't get Wiggins from us. So I think they would ask for maybe like Zach and Belly.
Zach and Belly. Belly's getting thrown in there. Okay. I think this settles at, I don't know, a pick, Belly.
I think you're overthinking it.
You think so? What does it settle at?
I think it's Gorgie in a first round pick.
For 6 months of Serge Ibaka?
I think that's what it would have to settle at to make the deal, yes.
That makes no sense for the Wolves to do.
Don't underestimate.
Hey, Thibs, don't trade for Serge Ibaka. Just don't do it.
Yeah, I wouldn't love that trade. Do you think Orlando would take that?
Yeah. Of course they would.
I think Tibbs would take it. For a vet who knows how to play defense and who makes us better now, I think he would strongly consider that deal.
Man.
You don't think he would consider it? I think he would.
I don't like it.
You would have to have the firm belief that he would re-sign here. So it's like, you know, it's like when they traded Kevin Love to Cleveland. It's like, hey, these guys talk, right? I know they're not supposed to talk, but it's like you wouldn't make the trade unless you knew he was going to sign here.
Yeah, it's a little different situation than Kevin Love to Cleveland, but yeah, I know what you're saying. On that point of Thibs, he needs to calm down on the sidelines.
You think so?
Yeah, I really do.
You don't think yelling, ice, 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 is good for our young guys?
Not only is it, here's the thing, okay, in watching the games. Obviously, if you watch the games, you notice and hear Thibs yelling the entire game. The problem with that style, in my opinion, is if everything is the most important thing, you can't actually get through an important point to someone. They're hearing everything as an equal thing, and they're hearing too many things to really figure out for themselves. I wish Thibs dialed it back a little bit and turned it up when he needed to. I'm okay with his intensity. I know that's who he is, but like he doesn't need to shout for 48 minutes. Even when the games are over, he's still up shouting. And anyways, just a little thought I had.
Yeah, I think that's one stylistic choice that he is probably not going to ever make.
Who's next?
Next, I would like to do Nerlens Noel because they're looking for front court help. They're talking to Philly. I think he makes a lot of sense. If I'm the Timberwolves, I'm opening the bidding for Nerlens Noel at, well, I'm biased, but I would say maybe Maybe Gorgui Jang. You're trying to trade Gorgui for Noel straight up and see if they'll take it.
Okay. They're going to come back with Belly, Gorgui. I like throwing in Belly. Belly, Gorgui, and Chris Dunn.
Yeah, that's an interesting ask. I think they would hope that we'd be down on Dunn already. Now that Colangelo's in charge, they're going to get away from being so conservative about signing guys for longer contracts because, you know, who was it? He died for our sins. Hinkie, the process, was very conservative about signing anyone for a meaningful long to midterm deal. So I think it would settle because they need to get rid of Noel, but then it's not freeing up the logjam. So I think we could settle at like Dunn and Peck. Maybe that's enough to get it done. I think they would take a shot to free up their front court logjam, get a high young draft pick.
Was that pun intended?
No.
Okay. Dunn and Peck. I don't think there's much Peck.
Contracts.
Well, you don't say.
Oh, actually, sorry. It's Noel. I think it would just be Dunn. I think they would do Dunn for Noel straight up.
Okay. Dunn. And you would you do that if you're the Wolves?
I would do that. I think Noel is a talented, athletic young player. I don't think he's going to be a star on offense, but we don't need a star on offense. We need a good defender next to Cat. It might kill our spacing late in the game, but then you can keep in Gorgui. But I think he might have a bigger impact than some of the guys we have right now, especially in defense.
As a Dunn lover, I also do that trade. I don't think Philly does that deal.
I think they might. Like they have five starting front court guys. Like Ben Simmons is a power forward. That's why he's valuable, because he plays point guard and power forward. Dario Saric, Okafor, obviously Embiid's great so far. They just got to move some guys and try some other stuff. And I don't think the relationship's good with Noel. I think he wants out. So I think they would strongly consider it. But anyways, I would do that deal.
Okay. Last guy, I think, is Eric Bledsoe.
I think we should do Tyson Chandler if we're looking for front court help.
Okay. Tyson Chandler. Gosh, I just don't get excited about these front court help guys.
No, but this is what Tibbs is going to do.
Okay. If I'm the Wolves, I'm opening at Belly for sure, Bozzi and Ricky Rubio.
Yeah, I think Tyson Chandler has basically no value to the Suns, who just want to be bad, and he's kind of old and has what, two more years left on his deal after this year for decent money.
Oh, they're not taking my bid, are they?
I don't know. That's kind of what I'm leaning towards. They'd be like, maybe. Like, who would they realistically ask for? Because they know he's not worth anything. Maybe they just want out of the contract and they take Peck's contract back and we give him like Shabazz and they take a flyer on Shabazz. Because he's the kind of guy who could do well in their system. Like, he likes to get out there and run. He bangs bodies.
We know he bangs.
Nice. So yeah, maybe honestly, I think the ask from them is pretty reasonable. Like, get out of his contract, and then Shabazz, if things don't work out, he only has what, a year, maybe two left, and they're good to go. So, and maybe at a second round pick. Is that too optimistic?
That's probably a little optimistic, but I know what you're saying. Like, they'll probably just want to dump him for some young value. So I don't think that's so unrealistic.
Do you think they'd want Gorgui? I can't tell what Gorgie's market value is.
I have no idea. I think the contract we gave him was slightly above market, so I don't think teams are going to be clamoring for Gorgui, is my thought. So what are we settling on?
The final? I think Cole Aldrich, Shabazz, and Peck. And maybe, or in a future second. Because they couldn't get a first for Tyson Chandler.
Okay. Good segment.
You didn't like it?
No, it was. I liked it. It was good.
Do you do that deal if you're us? Would you give up like Shabazz, Cole Aldrich, and...
Yes.
A future second round pick for Tyson Chandler?
Yeah, I would.
Yeah.
I think Boz...
Yeah, that makes us a lot better now.
I don't... Yeah, Boz has almost no value, to be honest. So, yes, I would do that.
Okay.
Should we move on, Brian? Let's do the Where Are They Now segment before the Good, Bad, and the Ugly.
Ooh, let's do it.
And then we can move to the mailbag. I'm going to turn my laptop because we're very close. I don't want you to see who this is.
Totally awesome. Where are they now?
Okay. Born in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, he was first team All-State his senior year of high school, averaging 6 blocks per game and shooting 70%. That must have been so fun for him, just like shooting 70%, blocking six shots a game. He was offered a scholarship to attend Wake Forest, But Wake Forest required that he get an SAT score of 950 to get in, and he could only achieve a score in the 500s.
Where was his high school?
His high school was North Carolina, Winston-Salem area. Oh. So he went to Hargrave Military Academy for 1 year and then transferred to Wake Forest. He played his remaining 3 years of eligibility at Wake Forest and graduated with a degree in sociology and a minor in international studies. Little nugget there for you. After, do you know who this is already? All right. After college, he declared for the drafts and was selected with the 29th overall pick by the Dallas Mavericks in the 2003 NBA draft. He played for Dallas for 7 years, making one All-Star team in 2007. In 2010...
Let me guess. Is it Josh Howard?
Correct. Ooh. You know what's weird? I forgot Josh Howard played for the Wolves.
So did I.
Yeah, I know. I'll get to that, though. In 2010, he was traded to the Wizards, but he tore his ACL in March of 2010, quickly ending his stints with Washington. In 2011, he signed a one-year deal with Utah, and in 2012, signed a one-year deal for the veterans minimum with Minnesota. However, he again tore his ACL in December of 2012 and was subsequently waived by the Timberwolves. He then played for the D-League affiliates for the Spurs and Pelicans in 2013 and 2014, respectively. He attempted a comeback in the last couple years. It was rumored he was going to make a comeback with the Spurs, but ultimately decided not to and was hired as the head coach of Piedmont International University, where he is coaching today. He scored 74 points in his career with the Timberwolves and was really a flash in the pan that I straight up forgot played for the team. So that's what Josh Howard's up to now. Josh Howard, good NBA player. Nice career.
Solid. Yeah, had a good run there for the Mavs. I think he got in a little bit of personal trouble for his off-court activities, but he was fun to watch. Like an interesting little small forward that could get in there and score. I don't know why I said little.
He's not little.
No, he's not little at all. Interesting small forward that could get in there and score.
All right, let's move on. First game was a 116-108 loss at home against Golden State. This was 12 days ago. This game, so the Wolves took a 10-point lead, I think, at the end of the third quarter, if I remember correctly. And subsequently, that lead vanished. Golden State quickly took like a 10-point lead in the fourth. And at that point, Jim Peterson, he goes, you know, you just felt that the Golden State never felt like they were in danger of losing this game, even when they were down 10. And he's totally right. I commend the Wolves for fighting in this game, but this was not a game we were going to win, but we did cover the spread, making our friend Adam very happy.
Yeah, I didn't feel well about this game. It didn't seem like – I didn't feel good about this game at any point. It was nice that we had a lead going in, but you can tell the Warriors do this thing where they kind of screw around and then turn it on, so I think that's what happened. Durant had a horrible shooting night, and they still, you know, pulled away in the end and outscored us by 18 in the fourth quarter. But bright spot, we're losing it in the fourth now, so I feel like we're starting to even out our rough third quarters. This one we actually had a really strong third quarter, which is great. You know, if we can keep ourselves in games longer, you know, yes, it sucks we're losing in the fourth, but I think that's more common for young teams, and then putting ourselves in a position where if we stop doing that, we can win, which has started to happen more often. So that's my good.
Okay, my bad is in bad, even in a losing effort, trying to be positive. Going Karl Anthony Towns, he poses a matchup issue for Golden State. It seems like every time we play him, he has a really nice game. This game, he put up 25 points and 9 for 15 from the floor, got to the line 8 times, made 6 free throws, 18 rebounds, 2 assists, only 1 turnover. Towns, he's the Golden State killer.
Yeah, he's a tough matchup for anyone, but especially because, you know, they don't really play a good traditional center. They kind of do Draymond and Kevin Looney, and that's just not going to work against a guy town size. So it's nice to see him work and get some buckets. So they struggle. The ugly is our bench. 14 points outscored by Golden State bench by only 6 points, but their bench was generally positive. Guys like David West, Sean Livingston, plus 13. Chris Dunn, minus 11. And Brandon Rush, minus 9.
Moving on to a more positive game. So we're going to try to keep this more positive. So what we're going to do is in the games we win, we're going to do good, better, best instead of good, bad, ugly. This was a 99-94 win at Chicago. We held Chicago to 38 second half points. Really locked down on defense. Chicago struggled to score.
Do it for Tibbs.
Yes. I'm sure Thibodeau felt extra good about this one. And Brian, you mentioned earlier this game felt like a turning point in the season, and it may have been because typical game, fourth quarter, it was close on the road against a tough opponent with a few minutes left. Felt like a game we're ultimately going to lose by 5 points like we have throughout the whole season. But no. Really turned it on, had some nice possessions and more so, I think, really good stops towards the end of this game. So I'm giving my good to this game to Gorgie. I really like what he did. 16 points, 7 rebounds, very efficient from the field, 7 for 12. Haven't brought up Gorgie's name very often, but was a plus 15 leading the team on plus minus.
Yeah, for the better, I'm going to go with our team rebounding. We had a great game rebounding-wise from Wiggins, 9 boards, Gorgie, 7, Towns, 12, even our backcourt. Zach had 6, Ricky had 5, and that was one of the biggest differences in this game. We out-rebounded them 49-42 in what was a tough road game. No one shot particularly well, and that was frankly the difference. Our offensive rebounding rate was super high. We got 15 of the 44 available rebounds, and that was really the difference in this game. So go rebounds.
My best goes to our defense in this game. So Chicago only had 9 turnovers, so they took care of the ball pretty well. But we really upped our defense in terms of stops. So we held Jimmy Butler to, you know, he did score 27 points, but 9 for 22 from the field. Dwayne Wade, 4 for 13 and 12-point effort. So that was real nice, and mostly towards the end of the game, we had some smothering defense, which is something you do not hear from the Wolves. And watching this, it felt like a different team those last 5 minutes of the game, and hopefully was a turning point this season. Moving on to a 109-111 loss at home against Houston. This was probably the biggest collapse I've seen in years. Just to be straight.
In a short amount of time.
It was perplexing. If I remember this game right, we're up by, I think, 10 points with like 52 seconds left. The game was over, and then all of a sudden we turned the ball over twice. Houston, who shot, let me get this right, 51 three-pointers in the game. They only shot 33% from beyond the arc, but they started to make three-pointers towards the end. They ultimately tie the game up. We go into overtime. We get down in overtime, and then came back. We were down by like 6 in overtime, had a nice little comeback. Finally, at the end, Zach decides to make 2 ridiculous threes. 3 seconds left. We're out of timeouts, Brian, which I wanted to talk to you about. We're out of timeouts at the end of games a lot. Thibs needs to calm down. Like, to run out of timeouts in the NBA is hard to do and a little bit ridiculous. But anyway, so we had to inbound the ball, go full court. Zach LaVine ends up stepping out of bounds, doesn't even get a shot off, and we lost. So this was an absolutely crushing loss, but the Wolves have since bounced back. My good for this game. Who am I going to go with? Obviously, Karl-Anthony Towns. 41 points, 15 for 28 from the field. Got to the line 12 times. 15 rebounds. Did have 6 turnovers, but we'll ignore that for the good.
Yeah, and my bad is definitely the turnovers. Zach's 8 turnovers were not helpful. Towns' 6 turnovers were not helpful. Wiggins actually took care of the ball pretty well and moved it well with 5 assists. So nice game from him, although he shot like crap. Yeah, I mean, we're a young team. Stuff like this will happen, where especially when it's a loose game like against Houston, where they're not super tight on defense. You know, turn 21 turnovers to 15, and we easily win this game. But again, collapses late. Those turnovers are the ones that really hurt us.
My ugly is going to Gorgie. 4 points. He's not out there for his defense, so it's...
He got 2 blocks.
He did get 2 blocks, 7 rebounds, no steals, no turnovers. Just kind of was a ghost in this game. didn't do much.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, overall, but again, another game where we rebounded well. We out-rebounded them by 8. We had more assists, which is nice because we haven't seen that a lot. So guys are moving the ball well. Towns getting 5 assists, Wiggins getting 5. We played a great game for 59 minutes. It was just a really intense, end of game collapse. Like, it was really hard to watch.
Moving on, 115-108 win at home against Phoenix. This game was fun because it felt like a game we were going to win the whole time for some reason. And we did. It was fairly close at the end. Again, we pulled away. Scoring 115 points, our offensive effort in this one was really nice. Brian, I'll let you do good.
Oh, what a guy. You let me do good. So for good, I'm going to go with our young stud. I think it should be any one of the young three, given they all went over 20, which always makes me super excited. But I'm going to go with Towns. He's shooting, I think, better shots lately, which is why we start to see his field goal percentage go back up. 11 for 18 this game. 15 boards, which is one thing that I think, at least I criticized him on it earlier in the last pods, was that he's not getting as many boards as he used to. He's not banging. He's shooting too many threes, which is a concern of Adams. But no, 28-15, two blocks, three assists. That's a really solid game from our young stud.
Better. This one's weird. Ricky Rubio. Now, you may say, but wait, Ricky only had 8 points and shot 1 of 5 from the field, which is true. However, got to the free throw line six times. Well, three times. Shot 6 free throws. But more importantly, 12 assists. And I really liked this game. Felt like we were running a little different offense. We were really running it through Rubio instead of playing ISO ball with Wiggins, Zach, or Towns. And it proved to be really effective. I think we've been doing that a bit more the last two games. Rubio looks like a different player. The team looks like a different team. And I hope we stick with it more.
Agreed. And that's one thing we talked about, even though Adam and I are a little hard on Ricky relative to some other fans. The team looks good when he gets to play point guard and run pick and roll. He can find people better than anyone in the NBA, or as well as anyone in the NBA. And when we use him as spot up shooter, he's terrible. When we allow him to dribble through defense and find open guys, he's very good at that. So I think that's been a huge difference. I'm going to go for, I started out with the good. I should have started lower. But the best, I'm going to give it to our team.
Bold.
The team was the best. No, we moved the ball well. Again, we out-assisted them, this time by 10, so we moved the ball a lot better. Still really high on the turnovers at 19, but Phoenix is pretty bad, so we can get away with it. But we're moving the ball well. We out-rebounded them again, and these are the differences that we're starting to see. We're not shooting meaningfully better. We're still attacking well, and we're still turning the ball over a lot, but like we're moving the ball a lot more finally instead of ISO ball, and we're hitting the boards, and I think the hustle stats are starting to show it, and that's why I'm excited.
Agreed. Last game to talk about, 92-84 win at Atlanta. Again, tough game. I mean, Atlanta's not incredible, but they're a 500 team on the road. They were with...
Yeah, I think they're better than us.
I think so, too. They were without Dwight Howard. He was injured, so did not play, which obviously is helpful for us. But really, again, nice defensive effort by the Wolves. No one on the Timberwolves scored over 20 points in this game. We held Atlanta to 41% from the field, 27% from three, and 69% from the free throw line. We're really in their head. So my good for this game is, again, this is kind of lazy, but really just going to our defensive effort. We only played 8 guys in this game, so everyone played a lot of minutes. They did not look tired and played the whole 48.
Yeah, for better, I'm going to beat on this drum. But our rebounding. We out-rebounded them by 17, which when they don't start Dwight Howard and they start Ken Bazemore, Cephalosha, Schroeder, and Korver, they actually started 4 guards and a small forward because Millsap is really a small forward. So I would hope we would out-rebound them, but we did. We delivered. So our offensive rebounder rate was great. We got 15 out of 42 and overall just got after it. And they on the flip side, they only got 8 out of 45, so we really did what we needed to on the boards.
My best for this one goes to Karl-Anthony Towns, not only for his 18 rebounds, which you sort of just alluded to, Brian, but his 5 assists. He was actually passing out of the post. He was being doubled and looking for a good quick pass, which is something I think he's a little slow at times. Only 17 points, but incredibly effective in this game. Nice job, Towns. By the way, 0 for 3 from 3. Towns needs to shoot fewer threes. I'm just going to say it.
Yep, you said it. I don't know if I agree with you, but... He's got to be a bit more selective. He's going to it a little early, I feel like, in his progression.
Okay. Let's get into this. Mailbag time. Mailbag time.
You've got mail.
Thanks again for the emails. TimberwolvesPodcast@gmail.com. Keep them coming, guys. First email is from Ivor. Ivor, thank you for the email. He said, what do you think of Chris Paul as our point guard? Hope the Clippers implode so we can get after him. Couple points. Obviously, that'd be amazing, but it's just not realistic. Chris Paul would not want to play here, in my opinion, and we can't get him. He's one of those guys that's untouchable, and just him being on the Wolves is unrealistic. Brian, your thoughts?
Yeah, never going to happen. It'd be fun. He'd like it here. Actually, he wouldn't like it here. He's a big town guy. He's Hollywood.
Yeah, I agree. Next email. This one was supposed to not be read on the air, so I won't necessarily say the name, but general comment, Brian. Some complaints that we're doing podcast on days when we have games, and once we get the podcast published, it's stale at that point and a little old. I think it's a fair comment. We will try a little harder. I can't promise a lot harder to do podcasts on off days, but a lot of the times our schedules align and literally we only have one night a week where we can both do it. So we'll try to make it work. I think it's a fair criticism and I agree with it. All right. Next email is from Carrie. Carrie, thank you for the email. Question one, what types of things would you like to see from the Wolves between now and game 82? A couple things he was thinking. More minutes for Dunn and Jones. Try out different front court guys next to Towns, Wiggins at the two. Question two, do you think it's possible to trade for Aaron Gordon? Brian, you go ahead.
Yeah, more minutes for Dunn and Jones. I'm okay with more minutes for Dunn because I think we need to push him more, you see what he can do. Like, let's get him out there. I know we're 25 games in, but I think he's been caught a little, you know, at only 10 to 15 minutes a game. So I think that could help. Jones, honestly, I don't think we need more minutes for Jones unless it's a game where, for whatever reason, we just can't score. And they also have a guy, if they have one of those dudes who can't shoot, like, I think we need to be a bit more creative on defense. How, like, the Warriors, when they were playing the Grizzlies a couple years ago, the Grizzlies didn't have Gasol, so they didn't really need Bogut to guard him, so they'd Bogut on Tony Allen. So maybe if the other team is a complete offensive hole, they could stick Tyus out there and just, like, have him stand by him. Otherwise, he just really, really kills us on defense. And then I think about trade for Aaron Gordon. I don't know.
Don't love it?
What does he get us? Another guy who can't shoot? He's athletic, but I don't know if he's a great defender, so I think that hurts. But yeah, good questions. A lot to think about.
Next question is from Mark. Mark coming to us from Poland, if I remember right. Mark, thank you for the email. Mark's thank you for the email. They're always good, Mark. It says he can hear our depression mounting with each loss. And he wants us to remember that the T-Wolves season is a marathon, not a sprint. That's a good point. We're only 2.5 games back of being in the playoff seat. And we need to save some of our rage and despair for after the All-Star break. Mark, I think that's good perspective. I think, you know, we overreact week to week, even though we try really hard not to. But we still do. At the end of the day, we're a young team. We're still developing. They've underperformed a little so far this year. But in the scheme of things, you're completely right. It really doesn't matter. He has a Where Are They Now suggestion, which we'll hopefully get in the coming weeks, Mark. Thank you. And he said he was at, man, I think he was at the Phoenix game, Brian. We should have, sorry, Mark, just reading your email now, or we would have really tried to come out and meet you. That would have been really cool. It sounds like he had some issues with the Flash Seats website. Mark, I hear your pain. I need to buy tickets in the next 15 minutes for the game tonight from the Flash Seats website, and that makes me sad. Thanks for the email, Mark. If you're back in town, please let us know again, and we'll make an effort to meet up with you. It'd be really fun.
Yeah, next time you're back from Poland, we'll try and catch up. We'd love to see you.
Okay, two more emails, then we'll be done. Ben, thank you for the email. Did you guys catch the Zach LaVine interview on the Vertical Pod? Thought he was interesting. I actually coached against him his whole high school career, and it's true he really didn't grow into a great athlete until later. Also, was it just me, or did you feel we're going to lose to the Houston game despite the almost impossible odds? I'll take the second part first. I did not think we're going to lose the Houston game with a minute left. I did not feel like we're going to win by 10, but it felt like a game. Maybe Houston makes a couple shots. We end up winning by 4, no sweat. I was very surprised we lost that game. And I did not hear the Zach interview on the Vertical Pod, but I will make an effort to listen to it. Brian, did you hear that?
No, I don't listen to the Vertical. Most of my NBA pods are, I love the starters. I listen to the drop every week. And then I listen to Simmons whenever he does basketball. It's pretty entertaining.
Thanks for the email. Last email for the week. This one is from Michael. Michael, thank you for the email. We always appreciate it. He said that Mikal Adams of ESPN wrote an article asking the question whether or not the Greek Freak and Jabari Parker would actually be a better future duel than Wiggins and Towns. Brian, this is interesting. I would take Wiggins and Towns, I think, but it's debatable.
It's very debatable. I think the conclusion was the article is that they actually might have the better pair than we do. I didn't know this, but Jabari is progressed a lot this year. He's averaging 20 points, 6 rebounds. And the big thing he has over our guys is he's shooting 49% from the floor and 38% from three on three threes a game. Couple assists, so same there. But the 6 rebounds a game stands him apart from Wiggins. So Wiggins only nominally better than Jabari. And then Giannis... he can do so much. He's just so fascinating. I think it comes down to, would you rather have Giannis or Towns? And I don't have a good answer there. I don't know yet. Honestly, I think it's too soon. I don't have a hot take on this one.
Okay. Thank you for the emails, everyone. TimberwolvesPodcast@gmail.com. Please keep them coming. It seems that we have some tweets. Brian, you need to make this really, really fast because I have to buy those tickets.
The tweets, Mike Lewis asks us at Timberwolves Podcast, which bad shooting point guard would you rather have, Rubio or Rondo?
Rondo.
I think Rubio, just because I don't like Rondo. He's always kind of bugged me. And then, better luck next year, Adam, in response to a comment by Britt Robson that rumors of Rubio's demise once again appear to have been exaggerated, which is funny because Adam seems to hate on Rubio.
Obviously, I want Rubio to do really well. And you know what? He's had a really nice 3 games, and I hope that continues.
All right. Thanks for the tweets and the emails, everyone. Keep shouting out to us, TimberwolvesPodcast@gmail.com or @TimberwolvesPodcast.
Oh, Brian, doing a little plug. Thanks, everyone, for listening, including the international listeners. It was fun doing this in person, sitting right next to Brian. We're going to the game tonight. I'm going to the game on Monday, and I'm also going to the game on the 30th. I'll have a lot of hot takes, and we'll see you guys in about a week. Thanks, everyone.